nurse being held in the Gulf state of Qumran for the alleged possession of a bottle of whiskey. Her sentence of 10 years imprisonment and 40 lashes is awaiting confirmation. Today, her mother, accompanied by her MP, Stuart Gordon, and a group of sympathisers, took a petition to the Qumran embassy, but the Qumranis refused to accept it. The Foreign Secretary has described the incident as regrettable, but no action is taken.
Turn it off, Ben.
The pound had another bad day on the foreign exchange.
This is very worrying, Humphrey. There's a lot of public sympathy for that nurse.
Well, I'm sure the Foreign Secretary will advise you what to do.
The Foreign Secretary advises me to do nothing.
I'm sure that's good advice.
We do nothing. We look heartless. We also look feeble. It doesn't do the government any good to look heartless and feeble simultaneously.
Perhaps you could arrange it so that you only look heartless and feeble alternately.
Humphrey, we must do something.
Prime Minister, the Qumran is a good friend of Britain. They've just placed a huge defence contract with us. They tell us what the Soviets are up to in Iraq. They even sabotage OPEC agreements for us. We can't afford to upset them.
I know all that, Humphrey, but the British national is facing a barbaric punishment for a trivial offence committed in a foreign country. The Foreign Office is there to protect British nationals.
They are there to protect British interests.
Well, it's not in her interest to be flogged.
It's not in our interest to prevent it.
Yes, it is. This could hurt the government very badly.
Well, I understand that tomorrow the Foreign Secretary will deliver a strongly worded note of protest to the Qumranis.
Why can't you do it now?
Well, we haven't got their agreement yet. We're seeing the ambassador privately now. Once they've approved the wording, we'll hand it over. Then we'll have done all we can.
It's very heartless.
It's safer to be heartless than mindless. The history of the world is the history of the triumph of the heartless over the mindless.
The Foreign Office will never get the Cabinet to agree to this policy.
The Foreign Office never expect the Cabinet to agree to any of their policies. That's why they never fully explain them.
Even to the Foreign Secretary?
Especially not to the Foreign Secretary. All that the Foreign Office requires is that the Cabinet agree to their decisions once they've been taken. Will that be all, Prime Minister? I have a dinner engagement.
I suppose so.
Prime Minister?
Prime Minister, it's time for you to get ready for the reception here this evening.
No, who's coming?
Representatives from the Synod of the Church of England. There's a vacancy in the Diocese of Bury St. Edmunds. They always want to come here when there's an important bishopric vacant.
Why?
We're to lobby. They have to submit two names to you, and they're anxious you don't choose the wrong one.
Well, how should I know which one to choose?
Well, it's like any civil service option, Prime Minister. It'll be a conjuring trick. You know, take any card. You always end up with the card the magician forced you to take.
Suppose I don't take it.
You will.
Who are these clerical cards I'm supposed to choose?
Well, with the church, you usually get the choice of a knave or a queen.
You're finding time to dine with us at Bailey College.
Well, it's always a pleasure to dine with one's old friends. Thank you, Master.
Humphrey, I'll be retiring in 4 or 5 years. Isn't that roughly when you retire from the civil service?
Yes.
The Bursar and I think you could be just the chap to succeed me as Master of Bailey.
Really?
But there is one obstacle. The Dean.
Why is he an obstacle?
He says you're too clever by heart.
I should have thought that at Oxford, to be called clever might be rather a compliment.
He also says you're smug.
You, Bursar.
Well, you've got a lot to be smug about. If I had 75,000 a year, a knighthood, an index-linked pension, and a bunch of politicians take the blame for all my mistakes, I'd be pretty smug. The Dean is paranoid that we're intriguing in this matter behind his back.
That is why we decided to discuss it with you while he's away.
Oh, yes, quite.
Really, the only way you'll become Master of Bailey is if we can dump the Dean.
But how?
It isn't easy. He's a lazy devil. And he has to do 4 hours' work a week. Give one lecture and a couple of tutorials, and he's got tenure for life. He's only got two interests, cricket and steam engines.
Never reads a new book, never thinks a new thought.
I see, so being an Oxford Don is the perfect job for him. So what would get him away?
Only a bishopric.
Bishopric?
We wondered about Bury St. Edmunds. That's up for grabs, isn't it?
Yes, and it's a very agreeable diocese. It's one of the old ones with a seat in the Lords.
All the better. The Dean would like that. His third hobby is sucking up to the aristocracy.
Yes, naturally. Well, it's not up to me at all. The church is looking for a candidate to maintain the balance.
What balance?
Between those who believe in God and those who don't.
Is there anyone in the church that doesn't believe in God?
Oh, yes, most of the bishops. But in any case, Beres and Edmonds is all sewn up. They've arranged Cameron Stanford to get the job.
Oh, we thought the Prime Minister had to recommend the appointment.
Yes, but if they put up an impossible second candidate, he can't do much about it. In any case, the Dean hasn't done enough public service to qualify for Beres and Edmonds.
Oh. Are there any other dioceses coming free?
Well, it doesn't happen very often. And the older appointees don't have to retire at 60 or anything. Bishops tend to have long lives. Apparently, the Lord isn't all that keen for them to join him.
What sort of public service did you have in mind for the Dean?
Well, why don't you get the bishop to send him to Qumran to try to intercede on behalf of that nurse? The Arabs love him because he's an expert in Islamic studies. He loves the Arabs. Either way, we can't lose.
That's right. If he fails, at least he's tried.
And if he succeeds, he's a hero. Mm.
And if he doesn't come back, he won't be missed.
In such an awful country, they cut people's hands off and women get stoned when they commit adultery.
Unlike Britain, where they commit adultery when they get stoned.
Come back with a few parts missing.
Look, it never happens.
Why to be so hesitant, Peter? I've never appointed a bishop before.
Recommended the appointment to the sovereign.
Yes. Tell me about Canon Stanford.
Well, Mike is very highly thought of. He's a modernist.
Modernist?
A theological term, Prime Minister. It seems that he accepts that some of the events described in the Bible are not literally true. He sees them as metaphors, myths or legends. He's interested in the spiritual and philosophical truth behind the stories.
You mean he doesn't believe that the world was made in 7 days and that Eve came out of Adam's rib, that sort of thing?
That sort of thing, precisely.
Sounds very sensible. Anything else I ought to know about him?
Well, only that he went to Winchester and New College, Oxford, and that his name is first on the list.
Sounds good.
And he has an eminently suitable wife.
What do you mean, devout and full of good works?
No, I mean she's the daughter of the Earl of Chichester.
I see. And what about the second?
Well, second is Dr. Paul Harvey.
And?
He's an admirable man.
What?
It's your choice, of course, Prime Minister, but there is a suspicion that he tends towards disestablishmentarianism.
Ooh. What?
The view that the Church of England shouldn't be part of the state. You see, some people feel it should be separate, like Methodists or Catholics. They think that the ordinary people feel the established church is a club for the ruling classes, not a faith.
Sounds a good man.
Well, it's entirely up to you, of course, Prime Minister, but I suspect Her Majesty might be a little surprised if you asked her to appoint a man who believes she should be made to break her coronation vows to defend the church.
Well, why is he on the list, then?
Well, he's not exactly a card-carrying disestablishmentarian yet. It's just that that's the way his mind seems to be moving.
I see. So you mean I'm being asked to choose Mike Stanford or Mike Stanford?
Prime Minister, the Commission is offering you the two names which emerged.
Was there an open election?
There can't be an open election. Bishops are seen as part of the apostolic succession.
What's that?
It's God's will. When Judas Iscariot blotted his copybook, he had to be replaced, so they let the Holy Ghost decide.
How did he make his views known?
By drawing lots.
Couldn't we let the Holy Ghost decide this time?
No one is confident that the Holy Ghost would understand what makes a good Church of England bishop.
I see.
Sir Humphrey is due to meet with you now, Prime Minister. Would you mind, Peter, if we continued this tomorrow?
Not at all. Thank you, Prime Minister.
Prime Minister, appointing Canon Stanford might be a bit of an own goal. May I go and get his career details?
Yes, please do.
And I'll send Sir Humphrey.
Prime Minister, Yes, thank you.
And what's a modernist in the Church of England?
Ah, well, the word modernist is code for non-believer.
You mean an atheist?
No, no, Prime Minister. An atheist clergyman couldn't continue to draw his stipend. So, when they stop believing in God, they call themselves modernists.
How could the Church of England suggest an atheist as Bishop of Bury St. Edmunds?
Well, very easily. The Church of England is primarily a social organisation, not a religious one.
Is it?
Yes. It's part of the rich social fabric of this country. So bishops need to be the sort of chaps who speak properly, know which knife and fork to use. The sort of people one can look up to.
So that's what Peter meant when he said that Canon Stanford's wife was eminently suitable.
Of course. Cheers.
Is there really no other possible candidate?
Well, not really. There are a couple of better jobs available recently, you see.
What's better than a bishop? A rook? Oh.
Very droll.
No, well, the Dean of Windsor is a better job, or Westminster. Such preferment enables one to be on intimate terms with the royals.
So being a bishop is just a matter of status. A question of dressing up in cassocks and gaiters.
Yes, though gaiters are now only worn at significant religious events, like the Royal Garden Party.
Why?
Well, the church is trying to be more relevant.
To God?
No, of course not, Prime Minister. I mean, relevant in sociological terms.
So the ideal candidate from the Church of England's point of view would be a cross between a socialite and a socialist.
Precisely.
Just interrupt. May I give you the career details of Canon Stanford?
Yes, please do.
Well, after theological college, he became chaplain to the Bishop of Sheffield. He moved on to be the diocesan advisor on ethnic communities and social responsibility. He also organized conferences on interfaith interface and interface between Christians and Marxists and between Christians and the women of Greenham Common. Then he went on to be the university chaplain at the University of Essex, then vice principal of a theological college, and is now, as you know, secretary to the Disarmament Committee of the British Council of Churches.
Has he ever been an ordinary vicar of a parish?
Good heavens, no, Prime Minister. Clergymen who want to be bishops try to avoid pastoral work.
So what you're saying is that Canon Stanford is a political troublemaker.
Well, not exactly, but it could be a thorn in your side on several issues. Strikes, public expenditure on welfare, inner cities, unemployment, defence. It's interesting, isn't it, that nowadays politicians want to talk about moral issues and bishops want to talk politics. And he'd speak with the authority of a bishop and as a member of the Lords.
He designed a new church in South London, and on the plans were places for dispensing orange juice, family planning, and organising demos. But no place for Holy Communion.
Are you serious?
Well, there was a dual-purpose hall in which you could hold a service.
And the church approved this?
Well, of course. You see, the church is run by theologians.
How do you mean?
Well, theology is a device for enabling agnostics to stay within the church.
I don't want Canon Stanford. What am I to do?
Well, you could turn both candidates down, but that would be exceptional and not advised.
Even though one of them wants to get God out of the Church of England and the other wants to get the Queen out?
Well, the Queen is inseparable from the Church of England.
Okay. What about God?
I think he's what's called an optional extra.
Any more news about that nurse?
No, not really.
Won't the Foreign Office do something?
The Foreign Office isn't there to do things. It's there to explain why things can't be done. This could damage the government very badly. And all the Foreign Office does is shrug their shoulders and say, well, we mustn't upset the Qumranis.
Must be ghastly for her.
Who? Oh, that nurse. Yes.
You don't care about her any more than the Foreign Office do.
Oh, eh?
You're only worried about your popularity with the voters.
That's not true.
Sorry, Prime Minister, but it's rather important.
Yeah?
Though the Foreign Office have just rung to say that the Bishop of Banbury and the Church Missionary Society have announced they're sending the Dean of Bailey College to Qumran on a mercy mission to plead for that nurse.
An Oxford don? Why?
Well, although he's a Christian cleric, he's also an expert on Islam. It's a faith-to-faith meeting.
All right, Bernard, you can tell the Foreign Office that I support their moves to support him.
No, actually, the Foreign Office wants you to stop it. They're furious. They say it's a futile gesture which will only impair our relationships with a friendly country.
Well, I'm not going to stop it. I think it's a good idea, don't you, Annie?
You mean it might save the nurse?
Well, yes, that too. That's principally.
All right, then. Tell them to go.
Yes, fine. Oh, and Lambeth Palace want to know if you've decided yet about Bury St. Edmunds.
All right, Barry, thank you.
Right, good night.
What's happening in Bury St. Edmunds?
I've got to choose a bishop.
That's ridiculous.
Why?
You're not exactly religious, are you, darling?
I'm Prime Minister. Religion has nothing to do with it.
To do with bishops?
Not really. They're just managers in fancy dress. The Church of England has over 172,000 acres of land, thousands of tenants, leaseholds, property and investments worth a total of £1.6 billion. So the ideal bishop is a corporate executive, sort of merchant banker, personnel manager and estate agent.
Speaking as a churchgoer, I prefer you to choose a man of God.
They offered me one of those, but he wants to turn the Church of England into a religious movement. The one they're trying to force on me is a modernist.
You mean a Marxist or an atheist?
Both. It doesn't matter about the atheist bit, apparently, but being a Marxist could cause me a lot of trouble once he stands up and starts to make speeches in the House of Lords.
Can't you turn him down?
That would look political.
But haven't you been explaining that the Church is political?
Yes, but it mustn't look it.
I see. Well, why did you turn him down on religious grounds?
How do you mean?
Well, does he believe in heaven and hell?
No, of course not.
The virgin birth? The resurrection?
No, nothing like that.
What do I have to be going on with?
Annie, you're brilliant. I'll reject both candidates and force them to submit another. What I really want is a candidate who'll get on with everybody.
You mean someone who doesn't have strong views on anything?
Yes. It might help if he were inclined towards Christianity. Wouldn't do any real harm.
So what you need is a sort of closet Christian.
Thank you, darling.
The 6 o'clock news from the BBC with Sue Lawley and Nicholas Witchell.
Good evening. News is just coming in that after 2 weeks in Qumran, the Dean of Bailey College, the Reverend Christopher Smythe, has succeeded in obtaining the release of Fiona McGregor, a British nurse held there in prison. Miss McGregor was being held awaiting a sentence of 40 lashes for the alleged crime of possessing a bottle of whiskey. Both she and the Dean are expected back in England tomorrow. And now for the rest of the news. The pound had another bad day.
So, it's true. I can't believe it.
It's a disaster. Disaster. Whose idea was it to send that meddling parson to Qumran?
Can't imagine. Bishop of Banbury, perhaps.
We have the situation completely under control at the Foreign Office.
Yes, of course you did.
Made our protest, the nurse would have been quietly flogged and stuffed into some Qumrani jail. And within a couple of weeks, the press would have forgotten about the whole thing.
Still, no real damage done.
Well, there's terrific damage to the Foreign Office. We've almost got agreement to set up a signals listening post in Qumran. We said we wouldn't make any more fuss about the nurse if they signed. Now we've lost our best bargaining counter.
Well, you could always find another nurse and plant a bottle of scotch on her.
I don't think we could do that.
No.
No, it's too dangerous. Still, at least it's got that nurse's ghastly mother off my back. She's been writing and phoning and telling the press that we haven't been doing anything.
Extraordinary.
And the press have taken her part. They've been going on about being more patriotic.
Extraordinary.
They said a lot of unpleasant things about the Foreign Office, but we've never been accused of patriotism.
You know, sometimes I can't quite believe the newspaper's abject ignorance of diplomatic realities. But we may have a problem with the PM now, you know.
You mean because we advised him against sending the clergyman out there?
And because you advised the Foreign Secretary to tell the Cabinet that it was impossible to get that nurse released.
And we were right. If we'd left it to the Foreign Office, it would have been impossible.
But you see what's going to happen now. The press is going to say that the Church succeeds where the Foreign Office fails. And they're going to dig out all the old cuttings about ambassadors' Rolls Royces and £4 million embassies and school fees at Eton paid for by the taxpayer, and what does Britain get out of it all?
Don't.
Well, there you are.
I know what we'll do.
Why?
We'll tell the press that it was the Prime Minister's initiative to send the Dean.
Oh, good idea. PM will enjoy taking the credit.
But you don't think there's any danger of the PM's denying it just because it isn't true, is there?
None at all.
And then for the Sundays, we leak the idea that the Foreign Office suggested it to him when we found all the diplomatic channels blocked.
Perfect. That way nobody gets the blame and everybody gets the credit.
Except the person who really thought it up.
Oh, well, I don't mind. I mean, I don't mind that he doesn't get the credit, whoever he is. Excuse me. Hello? Oh, put him on. Oh, hello, Master.
Have you seen the television news? Yes. Hey, splendid, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely splendid.
Well, this could help forward our Fred's preferment, eh?
Certainly could, yes.
How long will it be before a suitable bishopric falls vacant, eh?
Well, there's no time like the present. You see, I think that the Battle of Bury St. Edmunds is not over yet. Yeah, no, I know what I said, but there have been developments. Excuse me a minute, Master. Just a minute. Hello? Yes, ask him to come in, will you? Thank you. I think we can still get the dean up to the starting gate.
Really?
As a late entry. Just leave it to me.
Yes, yes.
All right. Bye, Master. Bye-bye. Ah, come in, Peter. Now, I understand that there's a meeting of the Crown Appointments Commission first thing in the morning, is that right?
Yes, they are aware that a further candidate has to be submitted to the Prime Minister, now that he's seen fit to break with tradition.
You mean by insisting on a bishop who believes in the resurrection?
There is one possible candidate, Stephen Soames. Mm-hmm. But we've been saving him up for years now. We'd rather offer him Truro.
Why Truro?
Well, Truro is, how shall I put it, very remote. It is to the church what the vehicle licensing centre in Swansea is to the civil service. Soames has been waiting for a bishopric for years.
Long time no see.
Oh, very droll, Humphrey. Yes, he is a bit of a nuisance, and he keeps on about our duty to God and that sort of thing. We rather wanted him out of the way. Long time no see. Yes, but if the PM wants a religious bishop, he's about the only candidate around.
Yes, well, he sounds fine, but there is one little snag. You see, the PM wants you to put up two more names.
Two?
Yes, you must give the PM the feeling that he's making a choice. So what you need is a second candidate who's plausible but unacceptable.
Well, I can't think who, and the meeting's first thing in the morning.
Why not the Dean of Bailey College?
Oh, well, I agree he is impossible, but it's just not plausible to put him forward.
Why not?
Well, he's a crank. He's unbelievably vain and hopelessly incompetent.
Yes, but the PM never thinks it's silly to appoint people who are vain and incompetent. Look at the cabinet. In any case, the Dean's just had some good publicity.
Well, in that case, isn't there a danger he'll get in?
Not the slightest. You see, the PM has stated that he wants a devout Christian. Now, the Dean only believes in Islam, steam engines, and the MCC. In fact, some smart aleck once asked him on television if he knew what the Bible was.
And did he?
Yes. He said it was some Christian version of the Quran.
Jim's Dean saves Fiona from Lash. What about that, Humphrey?
Excellent, Prime Minister.
Prime Minister's envoy secures nurse's release.
Excellent, Prime Minister.
Angel of Mercy was sent by PM.
Excellent, Prime Minister.
And I was given full credit on the news last night. I suppose it was my doing, really, wasn't it?
It must have been, sir, in the bed.
After all, I stopped the Foreign Office from stopping him, which comes to the same thing.
Well, it's too late to change it now, anyway.
Wouldn't be any point anyway, would there? I wonder why the Foreign Office Press Office gave me the credit, though.
Well, they couldn't take it themselves in view of the protest. This way, it looks like a government achievement.
Hey, look, there's even a leader. It does the Prime Minister great credit that he has not let himself be bound by the shackles of orthodox diplomacy. The Qumran effect. This is important.
Yes, it's just the palace is waiting for your recommendation of the see of Bury St. Edmunds. The two names were in your box last night.
Well, I thought Stephen Soames sounded right. Peter said he was best, too. I mean, the Dean of Bailey did a very good job in Qumran, but I gather he's rather eccentric.
Well, I'm sure that Soames is the choice that the Crown Commissioners are hoping you'll make.
Oh? Why, what's wrong?
Well, I have heard say that he's an extremist.
You mean he believes in God?
He's very religious, Frank. Well,
that's all right for a bishop, isn't it?
Well, he tends to raise issues that often governments would prefer not to be raised. He's a trenchant critic of abortion. Contraception for the under 16, sex education, pornography, Sunday trading, easy divorce and bad language on television.
Oh.
He would be likely to challenge the government policy on all those subjects.
But these are subjects on which the government is hoping to have no policy. Our policy is not to have a policy.
Well, quite. He's against your no-policy policy.
You seem to demand that you ban abortions, Sunday trading, contraception for the under-16.
Yes, thank you, Bernard. Yes, I get the picture.
And he's also against oppression and persecution in Africa.
Well, so are we.
Yes, but he's against it when practiced by black governments as well as white ones.
Oh, you mean he's a racist?
But you can choose him if you like.
I can't turn down another two names.
Well, there is always the Dean of Bailey.
Well, he's not really up to it, is he? I mean, I gather he's very lazy and vain and totally uninterested in Christianity.
Yes, but he's not against it. I think he would make a thoroughly suitable British bishop. Cricket, steam engines, and a complete ignorance of theology.
His admission says that he's never had an ordinary church job. He spent all his life in Oxford.
But he did well in Qumran.
Yes.
And I gathered this morning that he's thinking of telling the press that the Qumran visit wasn't your idea.
What?
I gathered this morning that he's thinking of telling the press that the Qumran visit wasn't
your idea. Yes, I heard what you said.
What? Well, I gather that he has a letter from the Bishop of Banbury, which is dated some time before your involvement.
But that would be frightfully embarrassing. It'd look as if I was trying to take credit for something I didn't do.
Yes, I can see the headlines now. Prime Minister takes credit for Dean's mercy mission.
Jim didn't fix it.
He must be stopped. How can we stop him?
Well, Prime Minister, I gather he feels that he hasn't had enough recognition... That the church hasn't had enough recognition for its role in Qumran.
Well, give him some. Get him round here for drinks this evening. Photo opportunity for the press.
Well, I think that might be a little improper.
Improper? Why?
Well, if you're considering two candidates for the vacancy at Bury St. Edmunds, you can hardly invite just one of them round for a drink.
Oh, I see.
Unless, of course...
What?
Well, if you'd already given him the job, then it would be perfectly proper.
Oh. Actually, Humphrey, I think the Dean of Bailey would be rather a good choice for Bishop. After all, he's an enterprising chap.
Enterprising?
Eccentricity can be a virtue.
If you call it individualism.
It's one of those irregular verbs, isn't it? I have an independent mind, you are an eccentric, he is round the twist.
We need people like him in the House of Lords. People who really understand the Arab world.
Mm. And steam engines.
And steam engines. Yes, on mature consideration, I think the Dean of Bailey is my choice. Convey that to the palace, will you, Bernard?
Yes, Prime Minister.
Now, fast! And hurry to announce to the press by midday and get him round here for a drink here at 6.
Yes, Prime Minister.
Move!
A wise decision, if I may say so, Prime Minister.
You may, Humphrey.
Thank
you may.
Prime Minister.
How come you know so much about the Dean of Bailey? Weren't you at Bailey yourself?
I was, yes.
Jobs for the boys, is it?
On the contrary, Prime Minister, I hardly know him. In fact, I happen to know that he dislikes me. You can ask him yourself this evening, if you like. I don't like him very much either.
Honestly?
On my word of honour.
You have nothing to gain from this preferment?
How could I have?
In that case, well done. Helpful, impartial advice. The best traditions of the civil service.
Yes, Prime Minister.